Sanders hasn't been feeling well either, so keep them in prayer. But my memory is such that I meant to call them Sunday after church, but needless to say, I forgot. So that's why I did it just a minute ago. So do pray for them. Luke chapter 5, notice verse. We'll read one verse there. Verse 31. And Jesus answered and said unto them, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Father, thank you for tonight. Pray, Lord, this evening for just a few moments that you let us look at some comparisons and, Lord, hopefully learn something and maybe think about some things that we hadn't thought of before. And, Lord, that you bring some things to light, Lord, and shake us up a little bit and make us better Christians because of it. In Jesus' name, amen. A while back, and again, I often write thoughts the way I do sermons is I usually write the thoughts down and I have them all down. Then right before like this afternoon when Brother Nichols called, I then went home and put the points and the verses, but I write the thoughts down. Then sometimes I'll have 10 thoughts and only need 4 or 5 of them. Sometimes I'll have 3 thoughts and have to come up with some more. But I thought about this a while back. I thought of the similarities between the church and the doctor's office. Similarities between the church and the doctor's office. Some of you ever go to the doctor's office? I don't go very often myself, but I go a lot with my wife. Been to lots of doctor's offices. Truth is, one of the things I hate about doctor's offices, and I've often said this, I just wish someday a doctor would want to put his kid in our school. Because what I'm going to let him do, I'm going to just go in another room and let him sit out there for about 2 hours, wait on me. I'm not going to be doing anything. I may even just sit in there and, you know, drink a soda and put my feet up on my desk, but I'm going to have him wait on me for about 2 hours. Then I'm going to go see him for about 3 minutes, and I'm going to charge him, you know, $300. So I just like to have a little bit of payback for all the times. I don't know if someone here a while back said, well, Brother Blount, find you a different doctor. We don't have to do that at my doctor's office. And so maybe that is what we need to do. But we've been with the same doctor for almost 30 years. So I'm kind of a creature of habit. I hate to change stuff. I'm not one that tries new stuff a lot. And so now we went to a lot of new specialists that we didn't know. And the truth is, the good news is some of the specialist offices, you don't wait too long. The bad news is some of them you wait a while as well. So I came to the conclusion that when you go to the doctor's offices, I usually take schoolwork or I take a book to read or I just take a nap. The bad thing is I snore sometimes and I wake myself up with my snoring, or sometimes my wife will wake me up, and when I wake up and look around, everybody's looking at me, I'm thinking, all right, so I must have been snoring. So I've had some good naps. I mean, I've caught up on my rest at some doctor's offices, but there's some similarities between church and the doctor's office. We want to look at a few of those tonight, and I want you to, again, compare the two. First off, both are filled with sick people. Notice in your Bible in Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2 in your Bibles. Mark chapter 2 verse 17 makes this statement. But when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, by the way, there is no such thing as a righteous man, as far as pure righteousness. Now, there are some they think they're righteous, and the truth is, if they think they're righteous, guess what they don't have a need of? A Savior. Just like a well person, I've never went to the doctor, especially sitting in line, and I've never went to the emergency room. When I get in there, they say, what's wrong with you? And I said, nothing, I just wanted to come see y'all. I mean, I've never went to the doctor's office unless I had a reason to go. And the truth is, we come to church because we're sick. And when I say we're sick, what I mean by that is, we have an illness that's killing us. It's called sin. The truth is, if we didn't have sin, guess how long we'd be living? Forever. God intended for Adam and Eve to live forever. If it had not been for sin, we'd live forever. So the truth is, that's what's killing all of us. Now, we may not have a particular sin that's killing us, but the fact is, the fact that we are sinners, that's what's killing us. So the truth is, we're sick. Now, we may not, so you really could say we're all terminal. And I called my kids a while back when I was lonely and homesick, and I said, you guys need to come see us. And they said, why? I said, because I went to the doctor the day, and I got some bad news. And he said, what was it? I said, the doctor says I'm going to die. And he said, Dad, what's wrong? I said, well, we're not sure if there's anything wrong with me right now, but he said, you know, I'm getting older, and one of these days I'm going to die. So I said, you ought to come see us, and quit putting it off. I mean, we want to see you and the grandkids. Actually, if they just sent the grandkids, it'd be just probably about as much fun, but I do like to see the parents as well. The grandkids are the most important item, and the parents, you know, they are transportation, so we take them as well. But again, a doctor's office and a church is filled with sick people. He said, if you're righteous, you don't have a reason for a Savior. Notice in your Bible, we're going to look at several verses. Flip over to Matthew. We're going to look at about a half a dozen verses in Matthew, talking about the fact that, again, Jesus had large multitudes, and guess what they came to him seeking? They came to him seeking help. Notice in Matthew chapter 13, verse 34. And all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. Without a parable spake he not unto them. Matthew 13:36, Jesus sent the multitude away, went into the house, and the disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. Matthew 14:19, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, or on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Chapter 15:10, and he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Chapter 15:31, insomuch that the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to behold, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Chapter 15:32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. Now again, understand, we sometimes have had some long church services in the past. I told someone the other day when they came, I said, I don't know if you want to do, they said, well, how long, what time do I need to get out? I said, that's kind of a weird term here lately. I said, if you preach as short as the preacher's been preaching lately, you get out about 10 till noon. If you preach what the preacher used to preach, you'll get out about 20 afternoon. But I said, he preaches now, he's preaching about 15 or 20 minutes. So I said, it's pretty hard to keep up with the preacher's preaching. I said, because he's been so sick. He gets up here and gets up, speaks up, and sits down and shuts up. I mean, but he doesn't do much rabbit trails and much other stuff anymore. But the truth is, in this case, what the Bible teaches in all these verses is there's lots of people that came to Jesus. You know why they came to Jesus? Because they needed to hear what he had to say. Now again, they at least had enough sense to realize they needed to hear what Jesus had to say. It wasn't just a couple people. Now those times he dealt with individuals. But the truth is, anytime the folks found out Jesus was coming, the crowds gathered. Now again, I've never was a great big Billy Graham fan, but the fact is, Billy Graham reached thousands of people. I've talked to several people out knocking doors, especially years ago, not as much in the last few years, but years ago, and they got saved listening to Billy Graham on TV. We got saved listening to Billy Graham on the radio. We got saved going to a Billy Graham crusade. So the truth is, though he wasn't, I mean, everything that I would like for him to have been, he was a man of God that got the gospel out. And the thing he kept telling people all over was the fact that Jesus loves you. That's what he told folks. Jesus loves you. Now, understand, the crowd had enough sense to realize Jesus had something they needed. If you've been to the doctor's office, you know what it's full of? It's full of sick people. It's full of folks that need the doctor. So doctors' offices and churches are all alike in the sense that both are filled with sick people. Second thing about doctors' offices and churches is not all the patients have the same needs or the same problem. Notice in your Bibles in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 in your Bibles. Mark chapter 1 verse 34 makes this statement. And he healed many that were sick, notice the next few words, of divers diseases. Cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. Now notice he says he cast out, had folks that were sick of divers diseases. Now, there are folks in here tonight that have different illnesses. Some have arthritis, some might have bipolar, others might have, you might have some type of great allergies. I mean, you might have issues with sinus problems. Others might have to deal with migraines. Others have to deal with some organ in your body that you've had removed and it was shut down. So the truth is, there are a lot of folks here, if we had you stand and tell us what your problem is, it probably isn't the same as the person sitting next to you. Even if the person sitting next to you is your husband, wife, or your kids. The truth is, there are things that run in the family. There's other things that, one person, this person can have it, and that person doesn't even have anything that resembles it. So again, they had diverse diseases. I said, not all the patients have the same needs. So when you come to church, understand what the preacher does is, that's why you need to be at every service. Because see, he doesn't know when God gives him a message, God doesn't say, all right, I need you to preach this. By the way, Brother Taylor needs this tonight. He doesn't say, I need you to preach this because Al Perry is really struggling with this right now. He doesn't say, I need you to preach this, because you know what? Mitchell, I mean, he was just praying and saying, God, can you just have someone just, I mean, hit on that one? I mean, listen to me. Now, God does give him messages for each of those folks I mentioned, and by the way, for me as well. But he doesn't tell a preacher who that message is for, which is why if you miss any service, you might have actually missed the message. And by the way, the devil would be more than glad for you to miss the message that you needed, because he really doesn't want you to hear the word of God and hear the thing that you needed, whether it was the encouragement that you needed, or it was the kick in the seat of the pants that you needed. I mean, and by the way, those are on either end of the spectrum. By the way, there's times we need either or, and sometimes we need both. But the fact is, because we don't know what message, that's why the Bible tells us that we're supposed to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Again, we ought to be faithful to church, because again, we don't all have the same needs. Now, a preacher covers a lot of different things. Now, there's some preachers that, I mean, for instance, I grew up in a church that taught a lot on prophecy. So again, I mean, spent a lot of time in Daniel, Revelation, and prophecy. Spent weeks and months and years teaching on prophecy. There's other churches that, I mean, the preacher might preach one message in 10 years on prophecy. Every pastor is different. Every church is different. But again, you have different needs. I have different needs. And the preacher is told by God what to preach. Again, we all don't struggle with the same stuff. We struggle with different things at different times in our lives. Notice Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Notice verse 3. Titus chapter 3, verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. He said, you know, there's a time that we've lived. You said, Brother Block, you mean most of those things we live in? Yeah, most of those things we've covered at one time or the other. Some of them more so when we were younger, and we grew out of some of those things. Some of those things, by the way, we had when we was younger, and we still haven't defeated it. By the way, it's always amazing to me that I am so patient with my sin. I'm just not so patient with other people's sins. I'm patient with my addictions. I'm not patient with your addictions. I always think, you know what? Why don't they just give that thing up? Then the Holy Spirit will say, well, you know what about that thing you've been struggling with for the last 35 years? And I'll go, all right, Holy Spirit, I got it. I mean, point taken. But the truth is, I mean, we all have different, I mean, we don't have the same needs. We're not all the same people. Fact is, the wife may not need the same thing the husband needs. The husband may not need the same thing the wife needs. The parents may not need the same thing the kids need. But by the way, we all have needs. And by the way, one of the best things about going to the doctor's today, you know what, one of the things that they push so much, not only do they want you to come when you're sick, but they want you to come when you're not sick. One of the biggest things today that they push is called what? Preventative medicine. They want you to come and be proactive. They want you to get ahead of that stuff. How many of you got a flu shot this year? How many of you got a flu shot and you got the flu? Not very many. Now, most of the time the flu shot works. You have to understand about the flu shot. They usually give you the one that they think is going to be the one that's running. And sometimes they guess wrong and they give you the flu shot that covers this one. And you won't get that one, but there's another strain that you get. And that's why you say, well, Brother Mark, I got the flu shot and I still got the flu. That's because there's a lot of varieties out there and the shot that they give you doesn't cover all of them. Now, they don't tell you that. They just say, come get the flu shot. But again, they're giving it their best shot. I mean, that's one that they think is going to be going around. But the truth is, they're big on, if you know anything about cars, you know what they tell you to do? Preventative maintenance. By the way, it's almost always smarter if you do stuff, if you fix stuff when it's first starting to, you hear the noise, you hear the sound. It's a lot better to take care of it when you hear that clinking sound than when you hear that, you know, when you don't hear any sound. I mean, and when you turn the key in, it doesn't make any noise, or it makes a big boom, and then you don't get anything, and you go out and you notice there's a bunch of oil running out underneath, and you find some metal laying, and you're thinking, where that? Oh yeah, right up there. That's where that fits. That's not a good thing. So they teach preventive maintenance. And by the way, they teach you, if you want your warranty to be covered, they tell you, you've got to keep up with this stuff because your warranty doesn't do you any good if you don't take care of this stuff all these miles. So again, you say, Brother Block, I'm doing pretty good right now. Good reason to come to church too. If you're sick, you ought to come to church. Good place to get well. If you're well, you ought to come to church. Good place to stay well. Again, I said the doctor's office, like the church, is filled with sick people. The doctor's office, like the church, has patients that don't have the same needs. Number three, both went to special training to know how to help you. Notice in your Bibles in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Notice verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now I can tell you I've been underneath several pastors through the years. I grew up with in my church, and back then my church kind of kept that history that most churches do, a different pastor every two or three years. So while I was growing up, I probably had three or four different pastors while I was growing up. Then I went to Oklahoma College, had one preacher there. I went to Chico, California, had one pastor there, and then I've been here and had one pastor here. So the truth is, even though I haven't traveled around a lot, I mean, I've been here for 33 years. I was there for 3.5, in college for 3.5. But, I mean, I've had 5 or 6 pastors. Some of you have had that many or more. If you've only had one pastor, you're a lucky person. Amen. Or you haven't been in church very long, one or the other. I mean, you've stayed faithful. And by the way, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to stay. You say, Brother Block, you don't understand. Every time I go someplace and the preacher says something I don't like, I find me another church. You know what you're going to be called? The traveling, I don't know what we call you, but traveling something. I mean, with a doofus, I don't know what to call you, dum-dum. But the truth is, when it says that, when I said that just like the doctors and the preachers go, now, Brother Nichols went to Bible college. And almost every pastor that you find goes to Bible college. And after Bible college, you know what they do? More times than not, they're associate pastors. When a doctor goes to college, he goes to college, and then, by the way, then he serves an internship or some type of training underneath some other doctor, and he's usually there for a few years. College for us in Bible college, I mean, to get a theology degree is 4 years. Some stay and get their master's degree, which is 6 years. Some stay and get a doctor's degree, which is 8 years. Now, the doctors do the same thing. They go for 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 years, and then they serve an internship. So before they actually, are on their own, leading you themselves, making decisions for your life, they've got quite a bit of training. And by the way, a lot of experience. Most pastors have been associate pastors someplace else, and they not only learn all the stuff, they learn the book learning at college, then they learn the practical stuff underneath another pastor. And by the way, your pastor has done that. And if there's anyone that has searched the scriptures, and anyone who's studied to show himself approved, it is your pastor, my pastor, Dwayne Nichols. There are folks that come to Brother Nichols and come to this church because they've heard about Brother Nichols. Brother Nichols is the kind of guy that, by the way, could be writing books and people would be paying to read those books. And a lot of folks have asked him to write books, and he's had a few that he's written, a few pamphlets. But the truth is, Brother Nichols is really, really wise when it comes to the scriptures. Back when he was well, when he had a couch in there, if you walked into his office when he was studying, what he had is he'd have the couch, and on the back of the couch, he would have these commentaries. You'd have one here and 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 one here. And he would walk and he'd look at this one. Then he'd go over here and look at this one. And he'd go, he was studying 5 or 6 commentaries, seeing what they all had to say. And by the way, then he always, and again, you'll find Brother Nichols isn't one that just rubber stamps somebody else's. Well, by the way, he also, when he gets up, even if he has a different opinion than all 8 of those, he won't tell you, you ought to follow me. Now, he'll sometimes say, my opinion is different than theirs. And if you're smart, you might want to, he'll say it jokingly, but the truth is, he doesn't, He's not one that thinks you ought to just follow him, that he's always right. But he does do a lot of studying and a lot of prep time. And back before he started losing some of his memory because of our old age, he remembered it all. He had a mind like a computer. And he still had, his computer is getting a little old and runs a little slower than it used to, but it's still got a lot of memory up there, a lot of study time. And again, I said, just like the doctor's office, they get special training. They go, and by the way, they do that because they want to be able to take care of you. They want to be able to help you. They want to be able to do a good job. Fourth thing, going to the office or the parking lot accomplishes nothing unless you go in and see the doctor or come in and hear the sermon. You're sick, so you go to the parking lot and you sit in your car at the doctor's office. Then you drive back home and your wife says, what'd the doctor say? Oh, nothing. Nothing? Well, I didn't actually go in. I just went to the doctor's office. Doesn't accomplish much. You go in the office and you sit in the office. You just sit there, and after an hour or two, or in my case, 3, you get up and leave. Again, you didn't see the doctor. You know what you accomplished? Nothing. You might have got a nap, but nothing. Might have read a good book, but nothing. It didn't accomplish much. Now, listen to me. A couple of years ago, I realized that sometimes I was out there running around, and I wasn't in here in the preaching, and I realized, you know what? I need to hear the preaching. So 90% of the time now, you'll find my rear perch right now. Problem is sometimes I have to set up on the chair a little bit, because if I sit back in that chair, I can fall asleep. That is a very comfortable chair. So you say, Brother Block, have you ever fallen asleep? If I had, you'd have known, because I'd have been snoring. So, thankfully, I don't think I ever have. But the truth is, I make myself come in and sit right there. Because, you know what, no matter what people want to talk about, no matter what's going on, it's not as important as what I need. I need to hear the preaching of the Word of God. So again, it doesn't do you any good if you go to the doctor's office or the parking lot or the church in the parking lot. We had a guest here Sunday. I guess it was either Sunday or the Sunday before. And afterwards, they came and asked me a question. Here's the question they posed. They said, all those people I saw in the fellowship hall during getting a snack, during Sunday school, between church and them, I didn't see a bunch of them here. And they said, did they all go home or what happened to them? I said, no, we have 2 churches. We have the auditorium church and we have the fellowship hall church. Or the hallway church. Or the parking lot church. Now, there are times that you need to be in the fellowship hall. You got a sick baby, you got some kind of sickness yourself, and you need to run back and forth to the bathroom or something, that's a good place for you, because you can see us. Now, if I was bold like Brother Vineyard used to sneak out during the sermon. He had his lapel mic on. He'd go out. He'd disappear out in the hallway. He'd open up the sound room and look at check on the sound people. He'd go in the fellowship hall and walk through, and he'd go, hey, what are you doing here? Get out of here! Do stuff like that. I thought about doing that tonight, and I thought, really, I don't know who's in there. It might be some of my friends. I really don't want my friends to get mad at me, Birthday's coming up, you have to worry about these things like this, so I just figured I'd take a shot at them, Well, okay, I will go and see who's in the fellowship hall. Kurt, way to go, way to poke me like that. Hey, Earl, how you doing?
Howdy.
How y'all doing? Oh, wow, someone was coughing in there. I hope I didn't bring that back with me. But, again, Church is like a doctor's office. You need to hear the preaching. You need to hear the doctor. By the way, if you don't understand what the doctor says, make him explain it to you. You know, Brother Nichols does not mind answering questions. The truth is, Brother Nichols, if you're like most people, when someone asks you a question, you know what it makes you feel? Smart, because they're asking you. Especially if you have the answer. Now, people ask me questions all the time, and my typical answer is, I don't know, but I'll ask preacher. Because he's smarter than me. But again, Brother Nichols, how many of you have ever asked Brother Nichols about something he's preached or something you had a question about? You don't have to, by the way, you don't have to be male or female. You can be a child. You can be a kid. You know, there's a lot of times doctors say stuff, and we have no idea what he just said. So sometimes I'll say, you may have to put that, I mean, I'm a country boy. You may have to explain that a little bit. I mean, you may have to draw me some pictures. But, I mean, by the way, I'm paying good money. I want to know what's going on. Fact is, I go with my wife to every doctor's, almost every doctor's visit she makes, so that between the two of us, maybe we can figure out what he said. But again, you don't want to just be there. You want to understand it. You want to get something from it. Notice in your Bibles in Luke chapter 19. Notice what verse 3 says. And he sought to see Jesus who he was, and he could not. Why not? For the press. Because he was little of stature. Zacchaeus had the ailment that many of us have. You know what it is? He's short. Now this time, short's not good. H-E-B, stuff on the top shelf, not good. I've stood on the other shelf to try to get up there. I've gotten the cart to try to get up there. Only to have the H-E-B employee you come by and say, sir, you can't be in the cart to get that. And I'm thinking, well, then get it for me. I mean, you know, but I can't get it. I always think maybe I should carry one of those little grab-me things, one of those little sticks, and just get that stuff like that, carry that around. Or I could do what some of you do, and I could jump up there and try to knock it off and knock it all off on the floor. I mean, I could do that too. But Zacchaeus was short. Now, listen to me. The good thing about Zacchaeus was he didn't let short stop him. Notice what he did in the very next verse. The Bible says in the next verse, he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And he figured out, where's Jesus going? And he realized he's going down this road. So he ran ahead, crawled up in a tree. If you know anything about sycamore trees, sycamore trees have lots of limbs. So it's easy to get up into. He crawled up in that tree, crawled out over the road. Jesus came by. The Bible says when he got there that Jesus stood still. Looked up at Zacchaeus, carried on the conversation with Zacchaeus. By the way, then went home with Zacchaeus. Now, understand, it's important for us to understand that we don't want to just come to the parking lot. We don't want to just come to the building. We want to come in and we want to get something from the message. We want to hear from the doctor, hear from the preacher. Number 5, does us no good to go see the doctor or the preacher unless you follow the directions and take the medicine. Notice in your Bible in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10 gives us a sad story. Mark chapter 10. Verse 21 says this, then Jesus, behold him, loved him, said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up your cross and follow me. Verse 22, and he was sad at that saying, and went away, grieved, for he had great possession. Now listen to me, he heard the advice, he heard what he needed to do, and he didn't do it. Died without Christ. A good guy. Now, again, I don't think he wasn't as perfect as he thought he was, but Jesus never argued with the fact that he said, I mean, I've been trying to obey the law since I was a kid. Another sad story. Go in your Bible to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. A well-known statement, a well-known story. Acts chapter 26. Notice verse 28. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Now, what it means is he was thinking about it. He was close. He almost made a decision. But, by the way, he did make a decision because in putting Christ off and saying, in doing that, you're saying no to the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit was convicting him. That's the only reason he even thought about getting saved because the Holy Spirit was telling him, you need to get saved. And he said, you know what? I need to, but I'm not going to. And he put it off. Now, I do not know. I'd like to think someday when we get to heaven, Grip will be there and we're going to realize, wow, you did get saved. He might have. We don't know if he did or not. But we know he didn't get saved this day. We know he didn't get saved at this time when he got convicted of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 1 in your Bibles. I said, does me no good to see the doctor, hear the preacher, unless we follow the directions and take our medicine. In John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Listen to me. Some do listen. And some do follow. I mean, listen to me. Jesus preached to these folks, and some of them got saved. He said, as many as believed him, he gave them power. So, I mean, not everybody hears and goes away like the rich young ruler. Not everybody hears and turns it down like Agrippa. Some folks hear it and say, I want some of that. Nicodemus did that. We won't read all the verses, but Matthew chapter 12, verse 15, Matthew chapter 14, verse 13, Matthew chapter 9, verse 2, Matthew 20, verse 29, Matthew 20, 34, all of them talk about how, again, somebody, I mean, he gave out the gospel and somebody listened and got saved. By the way, Jesus, that's what he did all day long. He went around trying to, I mean, he was like a traveling doctor in the sense that he was going, he went house to house, door to door, street to street, body to body, and he gave out the gospel because he knew there were sick people. By the way, and many of them knew they were sick. And by the way, they came not only from their spiritual sickness, but they came for physical sickness as well, and he healed them both ways. But again, understand, it does us no good to see the doctor, hear the preacher, unless we follow directions to take our medicine. Which brings me to the last thing, probably the most difficult for all of us. We won't always be happy with what they tell us. You know when the doctor says, you're overweight, you need to lose some weight. You know what we immediately think? We look at him. Now, if he's a skinny doctor, we're kind of tough out of luck. But if it's a doctor that's not so skinny, we say, oh, look who's talking. Because we've learned to redirect. I mean, it comes to us and, you know, we push it away. I mean, you know, we don't want it to hit. That's why I always try to find it. I mean, when I'm looking at the doctor, I say, is he fat? I mean, sometimes the doctors say you're taking too much medicine. Sometimes the doctor says you need to get out and exercise more. Now, they tell us all kinds of things, and a lot of it's stuff we don't want to hear. They tell us you need to quit drinking so much Dr. Pepper, or quit drinking so much coffee, or quit doing so much of this. They tell us, again, I said, we don't always like, we're not always happy with what they tell us. First thing, number one, they might tell you to quit something. Notice in your Bibles in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this is the will of God, chapter 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. He said, you know, there's some things I want you to stay away from. He then even broadened it even bigger than that. That was just a specific sin. Notice 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, the very next chapter, here's where he said, abstain from all appearance of it. He said, I don't want you to just stay away from evil. I want you to even stay away from the stuff that looks like it might be evil. Now, that's a tough one. Because, again, there are things, and by the way, Paul was very big on this. He was talking about if there's things that we do that might hinder someone else, that hurts another weak Christian. It doesn't hurt us. It doesn't, because again, back then, eating of the meats was a big deal. Some of you wonder what that was talking about. It wasn't talking about being vegetarians, but they would offer meat to the idols, and then they would take that meat and put it back in the marketplace and sell that for cheaper. It was still a good steak. It was kind of like a ewe steak. It would have been carried over there and put on the altar and then brought back and sold. Steaks are steaks, so some of the Christians were buying that because it was a lot cheaper. I could get a T-bone for $2 instead of $5. So, I mean, they bought the $2. But then folks went, do you realize that was offered to an idol? I mean, that God. Now, listen, since we don't recognize any other God, all that meant was they just took it and flopped in front of a piece of big metal. I mean, that'd be like if you took it and put it in front of your car, and then you brought it and said, I'll sell you a steak for $2 less. Hand it here. Your car's nothing special. You stuck it in front of the TV set. And by the way, that is some people's idols. I mean, the TV set. I mean, slap a steak and lay it there in front of the TV set for a couple hours and then give it to me for a bare price. But see, some Christians were bothered by it. So Paul said, you know what? I'll just quit. If it bothers you, I'll quit eating it. Because he was trying to take the high road. It wasn't that it was wrong for Paul, but he said, there's things that make people stumble. I'm not going to get in the way of someone. I'm not going to make someone stumble. I'm not going to hurt the weak. But again, sometimes they'll tell us to quit stuff. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. He said, there's some things that try to keep us from being spiritual. Stay away from those things. Sometimes they'll tell us to quit stuff. Sometimes they'll tell us to do something. They'll tell us to start something. Notice in your Bible in Mark chapter 16, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, and he said unto them, go ye into the world, or all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. Now there are folks that say, well, but he was talking to the disciples. He was talking to preachers. Okay, well, then let's look at chapter 14 of Luke, Luke chapter 14, verse 23, this isn't to preachers. In this story, he said, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges, compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. He wasn't talking to a preacher there. He was talking to one of his servants. And he said, get out. I mean, we need this house filled up for this wedding. If the folks that was invited didn't come, go invite some more people. Now listen to me, that's a good thing to apply when you're going soul winning. You knock on this door and they don't want to listen, guess what you should do? Quit. No, you go to the next door. Say, well, if I knock on that door, nobody listens. Go to the next door. You know what? If you knock enough doors, you know what you will find? somebody that will listen. You will. Somebody that's willing to hear the gospel. Somebody that's willing to open up their heart and receive Jesus. Now, fact is, if you go all one night, all one Thursday evening, you knock on 50 doors and nobody gets saved. You just keep going. First off, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing anyway. The Bible tells you to go, you went. The Bible tells us you're the watchman. You're out there, you're trying to warn people, and you left the track. You're trying to invite. I mean, by the way, sometimes you even try to talk to them. They didn't want to hear you. Blood's on them. But you knock enough doors, and you will hear. You'll find someone that will listen. You'll find someone that will come to church with you. You'll find somebody that was, you know what they'll say? You know what? We just moved to town. We've been looking for a good church. I mean, is that a good church? Well, yeah, it is. My church has been here for 20, 30 years. I mean, the fact is, how many of you have ever had that happen to you? Someone, you knocked on a door, and they said, you know, I just got in town. I was looking for a church. If you've knocked very many doors, that's happened to you. How many of you ever knocked on two or three doors? You got discouraged, and then somebody listened to you, and they got saved. Happens again if you knock on enough doors. The truth is, if you know any great ball players, whether it's a hitter or a shooter, and you know what they do if they miss a basket? They don't quit shooting. They don't quit swinging. They just keep shooting. Sometimes, woe to us, I mean, because they just keep shooting. But the truth is, the best way for them to get out of that slump is to keep shooting. They shoot till they start hitting it. And then when they start hitting it, then they get hot. And now you forget about the ones they missed. You're only excited about the ones they hit. So again, you and I, we want to. Sometimes he'll tell us to do something. He told us to go out in the world. He told us, you know what? I want you to go out and compel them. Now, compel—that's a pretty strong word. What that means is, you get out there. You do a little arm twisting. You get out there. I mean, you beg them. You plead them. I mean, you kind of push. I mean, you get a little pushy. Now, again, if you understand, if you're trying to rescue somebody from a fire, and they're fighting, not wanting to leave, and you know they stay in there, they're going to burn up. You're going to probably do anything, whatever you have to do, to get them out of the house. And by the way, all those folks you and I knock on the doors without Christ, you know what they're going to do? They're going to burn in hell. They're going to go to the fire. So we better do all we can. And that's why the Bible teaches if we go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, you know what's going to happen? We're going to doubtless come back and rejoice in bringing our sheaves with us. We'll get results. But again, sometimes he'll tell us not. He'll tell us to quit stuff. Sometimes he'll tell us to do something. Sometimes he'll tell us to exercise. Now, you know what? They'll tell you, you don't have to. It's not like you have to go to the gym. Truth is, when I was doing paces with the kids a couple weeks ago, did one of the health paces. Kind of stunt because it told me some things I should do and some things I shouldn't do if I want to be healthy. You know what they said one of the best exercises is? Walking and jogging. Apparently jogging, I think, is the one that they said was the best because it actually does all kinds. Now, if you're like me and you're jogging, I mean, yeah, you are. I mean, because it'd be like you're using several muscles. And it's like, yeah, your arms, yeah, I mean, yeah, when you jog, I mean. But the truth is, you don't have to have a gym. You don't have to. The truth is, many of us have gym. I mean, we have a gym that we've paid for, and we don't ever go. Brother Michelle always goes to the gym, and so I got that same gym thing. I won't tell you how long I've had that gym thing because I keep intending to go. One of these days, I'm going to go over there. But I've been paying the gym fee, and you know how many times I've went? It's less than one. None. Now, I do exercise some, but not at the gym. And I keep thinking I'll cancel it, and I keep thinking, no, I really need to go, so maybe if I keep paying, because I really do hate to pay for something I don't use. Trust me, I'm a penny pincher when it comes to stuff like that, so I keep thinking one of these days maybe I'll get off my lazy rear and go. But the truth is, sometimes they'll tell you to exercise. Notice in your Bible in James chapter 2, you know what James tells us a bunch to do? Exercise. Notice James chapter 2, verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? 2:17. Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. James 2:18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. James 2:20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? 2:24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. You know what James said? Exercise. Get out there and work. Now, you're fine when you work. You sweat. But you know what? When you get done and you've accomplished something, it makes you feel good. You get a sense of accomplishment. And the truth is, when you exercise, you actually get energy. You say, well, I'm burning energy. That's why, by the way, if you exercise and then try to go to bed, is it hard to go to sleep? Yes, it usually is. You don't want to get your heart all going and then go down and lay down because you're laying there and you're thinking, oh, stink, I can't sleep. So then you pop a couple, you know, Valiums or whatever it is and calm yourself down. I don't pop Valiums. I'm just saying some of you pop Valiums and calm yourself down. No, hopefully you don't need either. But again, you know what James said? James says, I need you to exercise. I want you to get out there and put some muscle to it. I want you to get out there and put some action to it. Now, James said, I want you to have faith. He wasn't downplaying faith. Some folks say, well, you know, Roadblock, I mean, I think it's important to have faith. And James wasn't saying faith is not important. What James was saying is faith is important, but works is as well. That's why he's saying, you know, I don't want you to just clean up the outside. I want you to clean up the inside. I want you to clean up both of them. I want you to get busy. I want you to get doing something for the Lord. Again, your doctor you may not be happy with what he tells you, because he may tell you to quit some stuff. He may tell you to do some stuff. He may tell you to exercise. Now listen to me. Doctor's office and church is a lot alike. It'd be good. I don't know how many times that one of the reasons pastor's a big believer, if we come to church faithful, he doesn't have to counsel us. He believes that he counsels through the Word of God as he preaches. He's made this statement to many, many, many times. People want to come to counsel, and then they don't even stay for church. Yeah. They don't even go to church. One of the things I learned from someone a long time ago, when I counsel someone, one of the first things I'll tell them they need to do is you need to be in church faithful. What that means is you need to come hear someone, not me, someone that's much wiser than me, my pastor, and listen to him. Then I tell them they need to read the Bible, which, by the way, again, someone who God's a lot smarter than me. They need to read God's Word. Those two things is some about the best counsel you can. I mean, if you give someone the Word of God to read and get someone in church, that's about the best counsel you can give them. So Brother Nichols isn't a big counselor. He's not big on counseling, because he believes if you just come to church faithful, a lot of the issues will get worked out. You pay attention to the Word of God. You have some family devotions. You have some time in the Word of God. A lot of those things will get worked out. Again, understand, the doctor's office and church, a lot alike. We want to make sure that we are healthy. We're listening to the doctor. We're following his advice. We quit the things he told us to quit. We're doing the stuff he told us to do. We're taking our medicine. By the way, we are doing, and again, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And again, sometimes we just even have to use some preventative medicine. I mean, nothing's really wrong, but we just need to, I mean, by the way, sometimes, Brother Nicholas often says, sometimes you hit the altar not because anything's wrong. I mean, not because you, but I mean, by the way, sometimes you can hit the altar praying for other people. Now, I have plenty of stuff to pray, so usually when I hit the altar, I'm praying for me. I'm praying for my problems and my sins. But the truth is, if I don't have any, it doesn't keep me from coming to the altar. I can pray for other folks' needs and other people's issues and other people's needs. But again, we want to be faithful to church. We want to be faithful to the things of God that we hear at church. This book, especially, there's several books in here that's full of wisdom. Now, every book has some wisdom. There's others that just, I mean, that's all they are, is just wisdom. I love Proverbs. I love James. And I need both of them. I mean, I pray all the time for that God would give me wisdom. Then I try to read the wisdom that I try to get the wisdom he's given me. And by the way, he's given all of us the wisdom through the Word of God. And then we can pray and attend church. And he told us to do all those things. Brother Nicholas always says there's five things to do. If we do those five things, it'll make us a lot better Christian than we would be if we're not doing all of them. Father, thank you for tonight. You know the hearts. You know everyone here. If there's anyone here tonight, Lord, that's not saved, I didn't say much about getting saved, but Lord, that's always on our thought and our heads when we're at church. We're always thinking so much about lost people, because Liberty Baptist Church cares for sinners. Lord, 99% of us are here tonight and saved. There might be someone that's not, but Lord, if there is, I pray.